Friends, listen now for the word of God. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed round him. And a woman who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt it in her body that she was freed from suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He didn't let anyone follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
I was at Southwark Cathedral yesterday for particular for Joanne McCrone's ordination, which was a great time. She was here, wasn't she, just a few weeks ago preaching on Mark, and she told us about Mark and sandwiches, which is not the sort of refreshments you have after ordinations, but the particular way that Mark puts stories together in the Bible. And this passage, which we've just heard, it's a wonderfully told narrative, isn't it? There's so much in there. And Mark does this thing of putting one story inside another story. Two encounters by people in situations which were similar but different. This particular narrative, Jairus and the woman with the flow of blood in the middle, it's in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, the three synoptic Gospels which kind of parallel each other. But Mark gives us the fuller version. His account is 23 verses altogether. Luke has 17 and Matthew squishes it down to 9. So we've got, Mark's a great one for telling a good story. My mum always says about this story, she finds it frustrating to read. Jairus has just persuaded Jesus to come, his daughter's dying, he's just got Jesus coming, and then on the way, what's he doing? He's talking to someone else. What about my daughter? We've got to know what happens to Jairus. But that's kind of the point. It builds that tension up. And when Mark does this with two stories, we're supposed to see them together and see how one helps us understand the other. So let's just have a quick look. Just look at these two stories. There's so much we could say, but we're not going to say it all. I'm just going to say a little bit. So what's the parallels between these stories? For one thing, 12 years. 12 years. As far as we know, Jairus' daughter has been healthy for 12 years. She's 12 years old. This is a sudden and critical illness which she has now, which requires urgent attention from Jesus. Jairus goes out, says, "You must come now." The woman who touches Jesus' cloak isn't named in the text. Let's give her a name. Let's call her Hannah. So Hannah has been ill for all of those same 12 years. That time where Jairus' daughter has been a happy, growing young girl, this Hannah has been ill for all of that time. And during that time, she's spent all her resources on trying to get well. She's suffered at the hands of doctors, which is kind of ironic. I don't think Luke would tell us that because he's a doctor. But that's what Mark says. And she's ended up worse than she started. Who's had that experience at the NHS? Anyway, let's go there. So 12 years. 12 years of life for one and 12 years of suffering from the other. And now they both need a touch from Jesus. Touch. Jairus' request is for Jesus to come and put his hands on his daughter so that she will be healed. And when Jesus does eventually get there, he took her by the hand and raised her to her feet. Hannah comes through the crowd where many people are pressing on Jesus and jostling him. But for Mark, the key thing is that she touches his robe. Everything in this description that leads up to that is like background information to help us understand the significance. It's like one long sentence that we have to take a deep breath for. And it says, "A woman, being in a 12-year flow of blood and who suffered much from many doctors and exhausted everything she had and gained nothing but coming rather into worse shape, hearing about Jesus, coming behind in the crowd, touched his robe." That's where it's leading to. And immediately she was well. And Jesus knew that something had happened. Then we read the conversation that Jesus and Hannah had. And I think it's about loss. Jairus' daughter lost her life. Jairus and his wife were losing and then lost their daughter, their only daughter, Luke tells us. Hannah had lost 12 years of health and community life. She would have been shunned by her neighbours, possibly by her husband. She had not lived the life that she thought she might. Opportunities had passed her by. But she had hope. Maybe she knew the Psalms. We can assume that Jairus knew the Psalms. He was the leader of the synagogue. Perhaps they both knew Psalm 77, which says, "I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. I stretched out untiring hands." We see Hannah here in Mark 5 stretching out her hands, touching Jesus and having her hopes for healing fulfilled. Hurrah! She was full of hope and faith, even in the midst of her loss. And the power of Jesus changed her life. Of course, that's what Mark wants us to see. That's what Mark is telling us about. Jesus came to turn the world the right way up. But what if we'd met Hannah a year earlier? She would have been a woman, being in an 11-year blood flow, who suffered much from many doctors and exhausted everything she had and gained nothing, but rather she was in a worse shape. What can we say to her now about loss and hope and the love of God? I find this a difficult question to answer, and I don't share a corresponding situation of despair and loss and crying out to God but seemingly getting no answer. Maybe you do. Maybe that's your experience. Crying out to God in the night time with some more of Psalm 77, which is on page 589 if you want to look. "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favour again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has God forgotten to be merciful?" What a heartfelt cry that is. And if this is you, I'm sorry I can't speak to you out of my experience, but we can turn together to the example of God's people, to the psalmist who wrote Psalm 77, to the poet who wrote Lamentations, because Psalm 77 goes on to say, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will consider all your words. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is as great as our God?" The example of Lamentations, they're completely real, crying out to God and saying everything that's on your heart. That mixture of trauma and rage and quiet dismay, God can take it. God wants to take it. And the experience of the poet in Lamentations is that through all the pain, through the loss, through the not understanding where God is, he discovers that, as we read, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. I believe that was Hannah's experience. Yes, in that moment, at the end of 12 years, she reached out and touched Jesus' cloak, but for 12 long years, all she had was lament and hope and a deep-seated knowing that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And because of that, she was not consumed. I think she was oriented towards God. Certainly the poet and the psalmist were, reaching out even when God seemed unreachable, hoping for the day when they would touch, and in the meantime, knowing the God of steadfast love. Lamentations doesn't answer the question of why we don't seem to see God intervening to deal with all our pain and loss. As Bridget said last week, that's a really difficult question to answer to our emotional satisfaction. But maybe Lamentations and the first 11 years, 11 months and 29 days of Hannah's illness, when she didn't know what was going to happen at 12 years, help us to see how we can cling on to God even while living with loss. And my prayer is that would be our experience too, whether that's in a crisis moment of loss like Jairus and his wife, or a long-term loss like Hannah. My prayer is that we would know the God of great love, whose compassions never fail, and who is ever faithful.